Here's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. What's happening, Ray?
Not much. Just trying to get organized and back in the world that, you know, on this side of the pond, and catch up on a few things and lots of stuff to catch up on.
Ray, we were just talking about the draft and, you know, the awkwardness or kind of the uncertainty going into it without Mark Hunter. What do you make of that? I mean, Brian was just saying, who's going to stand up and say, in the fourth round, we got to go get this guy? Or what do you make of this, the whole thing?
Well, there's going to be a lot more pressure on the regional scouts, because they're all sitting around the table and, you know, they've got their list. They've compiled their list of guys, you know, and they just keep checking them off one at a time when they go. And in some cases, a lot of teams stay to their list and they never vary from it, and they just pick the next guy on the list. But when there is a debate, you know, I guess the GM can make the final call, but generally speaking, it's after the first round, it's always the head scout, because they're the ones that, you know, they're the boss of the scouts. Well, now there is no head scout. And so the regional scouts are going to have to take some of the responsibility that Mark Hunter would normally have had. It is awkward, only because that's not the way it's designed to work. But I mean, the strategy won't change. They've scouted the same players. They've compiled the same list. It'd just be different. I mean, what strikes me though is that, you know, you had this front office that was, you know, that was put in place and it was working along with the Shanna plan and all that stuff. And now by making one move, the dominoes tumble pretty quickly and they're significant. You know, so we've spent a lot of time talking about how the Leafs and, you know, 5 years ago had nobody in the pipeline, and now they've got all these young players, and well, they came from somewhere, and that's from the scouting department. And whether they prove to be NHL players, we're going to find out, but now they got to, you know, Dubas's first summer here is going to be loaded with significant decisions. And whether he's a brilliant guy or not, it's going to be it's almost unfair that he's got to try and knock these all out of the park in the same summer, because they're going to be hard. There's we talk about the contracts, but they got to get the scouting staff together and reorganized. They're going to have to hire at least one guy into the front office. I would think it would be, some veteran or more seasoned management guy that would come in and work with Kyle, because they've got to rebuild that too. There's lots to do.
Well, who do you think has more pressure on them in the next month and a half? Is it Dubas or is it Shanahan, because he's the architect of all of this?
Probably Shanahan. Oh, because, I mean, do we really think he's just making this appointment of Kyle Dubas and then he just sits there?
No.
Or do we think that he's involved? Because I think he's involved. I mean, it would be crazy to think not. And
yeah.
So I think everything that Dubas does will be looked at through a double lens now. You know, what he's doing, but also what Shanahan's input into those decisions are. Because the decisions are going to look different than they have over the last couple of years. It's a different guy. Just like any Paul Fenton's decisions in Minnesota are going to be different in a lot of cases than what Chuck Fletcher would have done, because he's a different guy. It's his own style.
Well, it's true, man. I mean, we're so focused on the free agents that are coming up, like JVR, Bozak, and Komarov, because their contracts are off the books. If you want to bring them back, you've got to negotiate. We focus on the three kids, Matthews, Marner, and Nylander, because as of July 1st, you can sign long-term deals with them. But I think Dubas, where he's really going to prove his approach, probably guys in the middle. You know, like, he could roll in. Maybe he's not the biggest Kadri fan. Maybe he is. I don't know. But maybe he's not. Like, we're focused on the wrong things.
Yeah, I think Brian, you make a great point. Like, I think the optics, Roman Polak, for example.
That's an easy one. Easy one.
But you're talking, like, in the middle. Maybe he's not a Connor Brown guy.
Maybe not. Maybe, like, a guy like Gardner's probably the best example, because Gardner's an analytic dream.
Right.
And the idea is that, of course, Dubas would love that too, but maybe he doesn't. Maybe Dubas looks at him and goes, I know what his numbers are, but I can't get past the mistakes he makes. You know?
Okay, well, I'm going to... So I'll say this with no knowledge, but just viewing from an analytic side or not. I would think they'd like Brown, they'd like Gardner, and they won't like Leo Komarov, for example. Like, right. those seem like the type of decisions that we might see. Like, it just seems to make sense to me. Now, could be totally wrong. Maybe they decide that they're going to move somebody that we don't expect, and that could always happen. But I think it's almost certain that the Leafs will look far different next year than they did at the end of this year, and they'll look far different because of the contracts expiring, but also because Kyle Dubas's decisions will be unlike the decisions that Lou Lamoriello might have made. And it's going to be really interesting because I don't think anybody can really predict what that's going to be.
Well, and the same thing applies with Lou with the Islanders. I mean, now he takes over right. the Islanders, and everyone's aware of the John Tavares scenario.
Right, we were just talking about that situation. How long do you think it takes Lou to walk in and say, you're not doing that anymore, you're not doing that, I do that now?
Thursday. I ran into Matt Barzal yesterday. We were at baggage claim. You know, he's getting his equipment and clothes off the plane, and I said, so you guys got a new boss? He goes, oh, it went through. He says, yeah. You know, so he's curious. He's like, what do you think it'll be like? I said, I'll tell you one thing. You know that hairdo you got right now? That's not going to pass muster.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to need to get that thing chopped off. And he's like, yeah, I know. Like, we focus on that stuff because it's kind of funny. You know, you're an adult and you got another adult telling you your hair's too long. But everything there in Long Island, which has been a muddled whatever for years, is not going to be muddled anymore. Like, you know, Lou goes in and he's got the velvet hammer there. Like, you know, there's no yelling and screaming. There's just no other way. It's Lou's way. And those guys are going to find that out in a hurry. I look at the Islanders and I'm like, there's so many things that have been upside down for years there. And they're going to be turned around. Like, whether it works or not, I don't know. But it'll be turned around. Like, there's Lou's day starts and things change. And that's, we saw it in Toronto. We knew of it forever in New Jersey, and it's going to be that way in Long Island.
Would you say it's a foregone conclusion that Gar Snow will be walking out the door?
No, not really, but he's not the general manager anymore, even though he is he?
Well, like, that's it. Imagine? It's a title, but it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know. Lou doesn't play in the sandbox well with others.
No.
Like, it's Lou's gig. And, you know, Snow's had a long time there in charge. And, you know, lots of us thought that, that there would have been a change in the past. There hasn't been. And I can't imagine Lou goes in anywhere and just is going to, you know, quote unquote, oversee. I mean, Lou's going in there to do some surgery.
Oh, he's made that abundantly clear. We had him on in the last hour, and he's like, when they expressed to him that he had full autonomy, that's when he showed interest.
Full autonomy means that
it's Lou's way or the highway. But here's the thing, though, Ray, is he's also walking into a scenario that is very anti-Lou, and that's the Tavares scenario, because John Tavares has 100% leverage. Lou has zero leverage, nothing. Like, the fact that it leaked that they met would have, steam would be coming out of Lou's ears. But there's nothing Lou can do. Because if it leaked because of Tavares' camp, and he calls up and starts snapping on him, they'll go, oh, okay, cool. We're going to sign in Montreal. Thanks, Lou. See ya.
Like, see, I don't think there's anything that Lou can do, and I don't think it matters that Lou's now calling the shots there in New York. Unless Lou has got a shovel and he's going to start the rink himself, what does it matter who the GM is? Like, what does it matter if you're John Tavares? Doesn't it not come down to, okay, for the next 3 years, that's if everything gets started. They still got to go through a bunch of procedural stuff. in the next 3 years, I'm going to be okay bouncing around and not really having a home. Oh, and by the way, the first time we really have a home was I'm going to be 30. Like, why would he do that? Because Lou's there? Because Lou can't play on the power play. Lou can't play goal. I mean, we all know it's going to be way more organized, and, you know, certainly the path will be very clear, and wherever that leak happened, that'll be the last time that happens. We know that.
Right? Yeah.
Because man, we couldn't even find out. If you went into the Leaf office and asked what day it was, nobody was going to tell you, because that would be considered a leak. Like, that stuff's all going to shut down, and it's all going to change, but I don't know that that really matters in the context of whether Tavares stays or not.
We really got into it earlier about Vegas, and O hasn't been right ever since. He's still a little bit rattled about our whole conversation, because everyone's got a different take on whether or not this is a good thing for the league, bad thing for the league. Regardless, it's an incredible story. It's an incredible story, and I was just in Vegas over the weekend, full support.
Here's his hot take, Ray. He said, because of what Vegas is doing in these playoffs, the NHL can no longer call the Stanley Cup the toughest trophy in sports to win.
Why would he say that?
No kidding.
Because if an expansion team can do it, it can't be that hard.
Maybe they're just a good team.
It can't be then. So, Brian, so you've been sucking on a suitor since 1967.
Well, yeah, the Leafs, obviously. I get it.
Well, you just told me it's not that hard.
No, what I'm saying is this has always been the narrative. Hockey players love promoting this as if it means something. Like, it's always hockey's the toughest, based on what? Like, somehow this is a scientific fact.
Because you get the crap kicked out of you for 2 months. That's why it's the hardest trophy.
Okay, but if an expansion team can kick everybody's ass in 1 year and get
maybe
to the cup
that
final,
good. Who cares how they got that good? But they're that good.
I think it takes a real run at that narrative. I really
all
do.
I'm
I think
saying
it, all of a sudden it cheapens that narrative.
All I'm saying
lot.
Is let's have this conversation 2 weeks
if
from
they
now
actually
if
win.
They win, because there's lots of Cinderella stories that end up falling short.
100% agree. I can't imagine why. I can't imagine why anybody thinks this is bad for the league. Because if Vegas came in and won 14 games and they had 12,000 fans in the rink, everybody would be ragging this decision. Mm-hmm. Told you Vegas wasn't a hockey town. See, they shouldn't even be in the league. We love to complain about Phoenix. It's got nobody in the building. Or Florida, that they actually, when they broke the glass a few years ago, they could plywood the section that in the game. Remember they threw that plywood there? They just moved the fans to a new section because they had plenty of room. We love those stories because it's ridiculous. This is phenomenal for the league. Just look at all the free publicity they've got. Like, it's phenomenal.
Yeah. Oh, it's a home run for them. I don't dispute that. Like,
I still don't know how the hell they're doing it.
Well,
look at their roster.
Me neither. But here's what I will say. From a cynical standpoint, Ray, though, I'd like to see where they're at when they miss the playoffs for 5 years. If it's in 10 years, 20 years, I don't know.
Yeah, because it's going to happen.
Of course it will. And then we'll see if the dealers are wearing Golden Knights jerseys. And
right.
Then we'll really see. Because,
like, the crazy part is they could easily backstep by 10 wins next year. Easily.
Yeah.
Like, easily. So they got to decide. Just think of the players they've got to try and re-sign. Are they going to do that? Is Marc-Andre Fleury possibly going to play this good next year? Because, Noodles, you can tell me, but I did that first-round series, and what I'm watching now, I've never seen him play better.
He's
never.
Been unreal. Unreal.
And so is he going to do that again next year? Well, if he is, God love the flower, right? Like, awesome. But this is a lightning bolt that has lasted for 8 months. I can't believe it. I look at their defense. Two players on that defense, for example, I think other teams would be like, oh, yeah, we'd love to have him, would be Nate Schmidt and Shea Theodore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, they're not a great team. Oh, yeah, they are. They're just, they get it done.
Incredible.
Is William Karlsson going to score 43 goals next year? Probably not. But holy crap, what a year. Like, it's all amazing. I can't believe any of it. And I don't buy that it can't be good for the league.
We'll see where it goes. We'll see what happens.
Did you have any fun there, or were you just looking around for people watching
jealous.
The hockey game?
Yeah,
him and
a bit
his pigeon
of
buddies, they just bet on hockey games in the sports book.
Well, that didn't help. We bet on the Jets on Friday, and
I would have bet on the Jets on Friday, too,
well,
though.
Yeah, I thought they were due. They were the Generals due. Against the Globetrotters. They were due. But
they were due.
The muffin of all muffins gets allowed in the third, and there goes our ticket, up in flames.
You must have been so rattled.
Oh, I was ready to find Hellebuck in Vegas. Can I have a word with you about that muffin?
Have you ever gone in there and bet a three-team parlay when you can move the line?
Mm-hmm.
So you can move the line 10 points. You're like, there's no way I can lose.
Oh, yeah.
And you never win.
No. Everything's the lock of the century when you actually put the money down, and nothing comes in, ever.
That's why those bloody hotels are so big.
They keep
losers
going up.
Like us, we're like, oh, I've outsmarted the system.
That's
I've
right.
got it.
Yep. That's right. We all have it all figured out when we land, and then we're so sore
now, you
losers.
Guys, I think Overdrive should come to Vegas for the finals.
I'll be there.
Send a note to the boss, and we'll do it.
Now, why are you coming, Noodles, to work or just to hang out?
I've offered to work for free, and then I'll hang out. And the only thing I will submit for expenses is my hangover heaven in the morning when I get the IV to bring me back to life. That'll be it. So it's about a $200 bill.
I didn't realize that was a Bell-approved expense.
Yeah.
Well, we'll talk to some people to see if we right. can get that approved.
The financial autopsy afterwards probably won't be so great. But anyway, we got Johnny Manziel calling in, so we got to fly.
Oh,
here.
Sweet. You go talk to him.
Yeah, we will.
Awesome.
We'll chat with you tomorrow.
Later, boys.
Here's Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst.